This message, actually, I give once in a while, but a while ago, I think, what year was that, Jeremy?
2010.
This message is famous for a miracle that took place the day after. I went up to Alpine, STP. They were doing STP end of May through beginning of June. And so I went almost at the end of May, and I gave this workshop on inner healing. And so apparently many people were blessed, and they ended up doing a lot of reconciliation. So there was a lot of reconciliation that took place at the nighttime. But in the morning, when Danny was sharing a thought from Isaiah 1:18, how though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. They were red like crimson, they'll be like wool. So he was sharing on Isaiah 1:18, and they were singing the song. What is the song?
I don't remember.
It's like, white as snow, though our sins washed away. It's something about white as snow. And when they were singing, in the end of May, snow came down. Almost close to June, snow came down, and it was at least a couple of inch of snow. And so even the Alpine people were amazed that it snowed end of May. So I believe that God showed us a miracle just to, as a result of some reconciliation the night before, when people really repenting and confessing genuinely, you know, God came and really demonstrated himself to, you know, bless people with healing and affirm them with snow. So this is like a, you know, amazing miracle that we experienced in our ministry back then. And so anyway, I'm not sure if it's going to snow after this message, but I hope that it will make some impact in your soul, right? And also it seems like, you know, God is sovereign, and it seems like even through this coronavirus, all the schools stopped and people went home, and most of you are with your family, is that right? Many of you are with your families. And so, or with whoever you're living with, you know, it's all sovereignty of God. And if there is anything still unresolved in your relationships, I think God wants to use this time to bring everyone to a healing and a peaceful resolution, reconciliation. You know, I believe there's a purpose why God did this, right? Coronavirus is one thing, but that causing everyone to go home, meeting old relationships, maybe even to bring more healing and peace within the family and whoever you're living with. So God is trying to do something. And so, let you know, hopefully through this message workshop that we might be a little bit more guided in terms of perhaps some hurts that we experience through different relationships in the past, okay? So let's pray, and we'll move on to our topic of inner healing. Lord, we thank you, God, for this time together, bringing just brothers and sisters from different campuses, but also from different countries, and to come together to learn more about, Lord, what it means to be healed by your presence and your power. And so, Lord, would you guide our time and teach us according to your goodness, and may our hearts be blessed and healed. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, so once in a while, I put down my message in a PowerPoint. And so this is one of those once in a while that I do. So this is about experiencing God's healing. This is about experiencing God's healing. And we need healing because many of us, we go through life, not necessarily because we want it, but because of different people around us, we might, you know, get hurt. So we are people who are hurt with many hurts. How many of you have been hurt before by, you know, family or friends or people around? Yes, we all been hurt in some way. So we are a bunch of hurt people. And usually the hurt comes from outside. You know, it's somebody around us. Sadly, sometimes could be family members. There's a person who caused that hurt. And so because of that person who hurt me, you know, I live with the hurt and the impact of hurt, or even my response to that hurt. And so this is kind of common. It's hard to find a person who has not been hurt in their lifetime. So we are living in the midst of people, and people, not everybody is perfectly holy and righteous and Christ-like. So we are living amongst broken people. We're all broken. And because of our brokenness, sometimes we hurt each other. But when somebody hurts us and I am hurt, there is a response. And normally a common response because of the hurts may be a response back to the person who hurt us. Because that person hurt me, I could respond in anger. You know, I could be angry because I did not want this hurt, but this person hurt me, so I am angry. I'm upset that you did this to me. I'm angry because you said this to me. I am upset because, you know, what you did impacted me. My soul has been hurt. So not only angry, but if anger persists, continues on, anger could lead into a deeper, place, a bitterness. We could be angry, but we could be bitter at the person, you know. And the Bible says, watch out for bitterness because it defiles you, but it could also defile others. Bitterness is a scary one. So you want to take care of any issues, perhaps even at the angry level. Anger is better than going into bitterness. But if anger and bitterness goes in deeper, we can, you know, just, you know, really want to attack in return and say, I am never going to forgive this person. I will not forgive this person. And so we could become even very unforgiving. And unforgiving could lead to even hatefulness. To say, I'm not only bitter at this person and I am not going to forgive this person, but I really hate this person. It's a form of vengefulness. So, you know, the Bible says, don't take vengeance. The vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Because when we take vengeance, it just defiles our soul. Because I am hurt, in a way, we want to reciprocate. Because you hurt me, I want to hurt you. And maybe not in the same way that person hurt me. But another way we could get back is by saying, because you hurt me, I'm angry with you. I'm bitter because of what you did. And I will never forgive you. I hate you. And I will never let you go on this. And I'm going to take my vengeance by not letting you go. And that's why God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. You know, if somebody did wrong, God is just. And God is well able to repay an evil done to us. So, but when we are not looking at God, you know, we want to take the matter into my own hand. And so me having been hurt, I'm angry, and that goes in deeper into bitterness and unforgiveness, hatefulness, and even vengefulness. And interestingly, you would think a person will feel better, that I would feel better if I'm angry and bitter and unforgiving and hateful and vengeful to this person who hurt me. You think that because you're taking vengeance on this person by these responses, but somehow anger, bitterness, unforgiving, hateful, and vengefulness is not of God, not of the Holy Spirit. Instead of us who are called to be full of the Holy Spirit, we are full of darkness. And interestingly, if these responses are not surrendered through healing, surrendered and let go, even these dark responses can lead to depression. So many people are depressed, and it many times originates from what happened to us in a relational context. And it happens to us because we cannot let go the above responses of anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, hatefulness, and vengeance, and among other things that you might be able to describe. And so this is the common natural response. So this is, you know, if you're kids and one child punches another child and they don't know anything better. And so if you get punched by another kid, then you're going to say, I'm angry. Why did you do that? I'm never going to forgive you. I hate you. I'm going to get you back. So that's kind of the natural childlike, but then childish response. And adults are no different. When somebody hurts me, my response is anger, bitter, unforgiving, hateful, vengeful, and depressed. Hey, Sheehan, is that your dad? Hello. It's a brother, not a dad. Okay. Hello, brother. I am Min in American, but An Moksa in Korean. Okay, let me continue on. In the midst of this, we can fall into a deadly cycle and get trapped in this deadly cycle, you know? And so we could spiral down. If you don't do anything about this, you could spiral down and be stuck in this memory of hurt and this response for a long time. So, and because I've dealt with a lot of young people through the years, and there's many people who still are stuck in the hurt they experienced when they were a child, and their bitter response, and whenever they think about this situation, they go into this angry mode, and somehow it could even lead them to depression. So somehow this hurt and this response could become lodged into a person's memory, and if not resolved properly before God, they could be stuck with this memory of hurt and bitterness for a long time. I'm not sure if you've ever had such a memory. I hope you didn't, but if you did and you still have some kind of a memory that you're stuck on, then we need to not let it continue on, but respond in the way God calls us to. So what is the right proper response when it's inevitable somebody hurts us. You know, somebody will hurt us in our life. and we will be hurt. And our natural response will be what we see here. But what is the response that God is calling his people to? So, I forgot to mention that when we are stuck, I mean, another way to describe being stuck with this memory of hurt and our negative response is a being stuck with Satan's foothold and strongholds. So this being stuck is, in a way, the way that the enemy, Satan, wants us to be responding and continually remembering and being stuck on it. But our proper response, hopefully, at some point along the way, we will come to know who God is, and that we will have a personal encounter of experiencing God and have some kind of a born-again experience so that we can be healed and be transformed. So we're assuming that all of us have had this personal encounter with God, God's love, and Jesus Christ. In drawing near to God, we have been regenerated. You've been born again. You've been born again. So you fell in love with God. You're now born again. But as a born again person, we need to respond in godly way, in a godly way. Not no longer to respond in a natural way, but in a godly way. And the way that God calls us to respond in a godly way is to start with repentance. We need to reflect on the time, how we were hurt in the past. And so actually the hurt is not the sin. When somebody hurts you and you hurt, that's not the sin. Everybody, you know, when somebody punches you, you feel hurt. You know, feeling hurt is not the sin. But what is the sin is when we're hurt, the natural negative response, our negative response. Right here, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, hatefulness, and vengefulness, and depression. You know, it's our natural response that is not glorifying to God and taking vengeance upon ourselves and getting back at the person who hurt us. And so, what about the hurt? Well, we'll come to that. But when we come to experience God's love and his transformation, the healing is part of that. Healing is part of that. When the Holy Spirit comes in and we are born again, there's a Holy Spirit healing power that will heal us. But what do we do with our response that we've been stuck on all these years? Well, we need to make sure we repent for those. You know, and so it says that Mark 1:15, what does it say? Why don't you go ahead and read that for us, Yvonne?
That is the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news.
So God is trying to establish his kingdom on earth through those who would repent and believe in the good news. And so repentance has to do with you know, our sins of the past, sin before God, sin of idolatry, but sin of our negative responses. And so whatever God would remind us, you know, he wants us to repent. And believing in the good news of forgiveness for those sins, you know, we come into the kingdom of God. So through repentance, we come into the kingdom, we're born again. And but when we do repent in Hosea chapter 6, 1 through 3, it says this. Why don't you read that for us as well, Iman? 1 through 3.
Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth.
So here it describes how even though we have sinned and we've been torn, but it's a promise that if we return to God, that he, even though he has torn us to pieces, that he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind us up of our wounds. So a part of being born again and regenerated, his healing power will come. And sometimes, you know, somehow some hurts will take place in our lives, and it feels like we've been torn to pieces. It will feel like that we've been injured. But his promise is when we come into his presence, which is certain as the dawn, that he will heal us and he will bind us up. So repentance leads us into the kingdom of God, but in the kingdom, there is God's healing power and transformation. So for everyone, even though you've experienced some of this hurts and respond natural responses, but when you accepted Christ by repenting and believing in the gospel, you should have experienced to some degree God's healing power and his transformation. And that is not finished. It has begun and is continuing on. So then if that's how we should respond as a person who is hurt, we're born again. And what are some things we ought to do having been repenting of the sinful responses? We are to now be willing to forgive, related to the person who hurt us. You know, when somebody hurt us, we're hurt, we respond naturally, but through repentance, we come into the kingdom and begin to experience his healing and transforming power. So when we're born again, you know, we are called to forgive the person who hurt us. You know, Matthew 18:22 says, Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, 77 times. So, you know, this is tough, you know, especially when you remember the hurt and when you've given yourself to anger, bitterness, and forgiveness and hateful vengeance, and you've been depressed for a while. It is a kind of a memory that stuck, but hopefully when you repented and come into the kingdom, you've been set free from some degree of this memory. How many of you experienced something like that when you repented and accepted Jesus? You know, did you experience some, you know, just a special ability to let go and even be willing to forgive? Hopefully. But it might be a battle. You know, some of the old memory might remain, and yet, you know, I repented and I'm trying to draw near to God and live in the kingdom of God. But in the midst of this, perhaps even battle, we are called to forgive. Because as long as we don't forgive, we are still holding on to my anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, hatefulness, and vengeance. But more we hold on to that, we will never be free from that memory. It will drag us down to depression. But a solution for that is repenting of our sins, entering the kingdom. The Holy Spirit comes in to bless us with new life, you know, but we're called to actively forgive. And, you know, in Luke 23:34, Jesus said, you know, he was nailed on the cross. He says, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So even though the people crucified Jesus, And Jesus, looking at those who crucified him, he didn't take it personally in a way. Why did you crucify me when I taught you the kingdom message and I gave you food? I showed you miracles. He didn't say that. He says, God, they know not what they're doing. So Jesus was thinking from their perspective, and they are also broken sinners. They're broken sinners. They don't even know what they're doing. And so somehow Jesus was able to forgive the very people who hurt him by understanding their brokenness, their sinfulness. They not understanding how they are separated from God, broken people, lacking love and comfort and, you know, just the fullness of life in their heart, lacking that, you know, whatever the reason, they wanted to hurt you. So this forgiveness is another huge topic, so I won't say too much, but from our natural response and our deadly cycle and Satan's stronghold and foothold, we need to repent and enter the kingdom and be born again and have the Holy Spirit come in to heal us. But part of my obedience need to be, you know, willing to forgive another, because actually Jesus forgave us. Another thing that we are to call to respond is to intercede for the people who hurt us. Intercede, pray for the people. We should repent of our sins and be born again, receive the Spirit. We should begin to the work of forgiving, but not only forgiving, but even praying for them, blessing them. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Bless them and do not curse them. So not only are you not to be angry, bitter, unforgiving, but forgiving, but you are called to forgive them and bless them. Bless them and not curse them, and pray for them. You know, a good example is in Job 42:10. Let's look at Job 42:10. Job 42:10. Okay, let's read that together. Are you ready? Job 42:10. Ready, get set, go.
After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before.
After Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before, including the healing of his skin. Do you know that, you know, God tested Job and he took away, you know, his children, wealth, and, you know, in the beginning he was fine. God give it, God taketh away. And then his friends came along and they were very self-righteous and criticizing Job, and Job became kind of self-defensive, self-righteous as well. And then God confronts him, whether he had the wisdom when God created the universe, God created the world. And so he was really humble. Job was humble. And he acknowledged he was wrong. But it was not when Job confessed his sin, acknowledged it before God, that he does not know, that he was healed. He was not healed. His skin was still full of scab and he was sick. But it was not when he acknowledged his lack and his sin, but God told him, pray for your friends. They did not, you know, do righteous by you, and they didn't encourage you in a humble way. They didn't do the right thing, but instead of being angry or bitter at your friends, God said, pray for your friends. And when he prayed for his friends, his fortune returned. It was not when he confessed his sin that his skin disease were healed, his fortune returned, but it was when he started praying for his friends who actually were not a very good comforter during the time he was suffering through his demise, his situation where he lost his family and he lost his fortune. So this is a pretty interesting insight, is that confessing our sin is a good thing. Like, we need to repent and be born again. And we could, as a believer, when we sin, we could confess our sin. We need to also forgive them. We need to also forgive them. But not only forgive them, okay, I will not be angry with them, but to start praying for them and bless them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Sometimes we could go into judging people and condemning people. But when you have to bless someone, when you bless someone and you pray for someone, you can't curse them. You can't judge them. Actually, part of praying for another person is to acknowledge you care for them. You care for them. Even the person who hurt you, we want to care for them, and that they would, if they have not repented, that they would repent and they would be saved. They would enter the kingdom as well. Amen? So, you know, this should be, this is a pretty much the basic path of healing from our deadly cycle of hurt and bitterness and Satan's foothold and stronghold. We need to repent. If you're not born again, you need to repent to be born again. If you're born again, you need to continue to repent for any sins of vengefulness. Not only repent of it, you need to forgive them. And you need to intercede for them. But there is a part here in James 4, 7, and 8. There may be some other obediences that God may be calling you to. James 4, 7, and 8 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So there is a calling that to rid of Satan's foothold and strongholds, we need to continue to submit to God. Submit to God. So beside forgiving and interceding, you know, God may call you to go talk to someone, talk to the person who hurt you. You know, it may be a call to reconcile. The principle is, if somebody hurts us or I hurt them, the responsibility is on your side, my side, to go initiate, whether an apology or just to share what had happened. Of course, you don't want to do this for every little thing. You don't want to be overly sensitive about everything somebody does to you. But with proper wisdom, with counsel, we want to discern whether God does want us to go resolve and reconcile with another, someone who has hurt you. So, you know, that just depends on each person. I remember helping some ladies at UCLA in the past, people who were been abused when they were young. And they were abused, but the sister just didn't confront. And it was by somebody, family member, and didn't confront. And because of that, the sister never goes by a day without thinking about that hurt, that abuse. And so I was part of that healing process, and I invited her to repent, forgive, intercede, but also, if not talking to this person face to face, to write an email, a letter to this person to share what had happened. So sometimes God may ask you to do beyond forgiving and interceding, but to go and reconcile, either face to face or by letter writing. So I've had the opportunity to help some people go through the healing process, but once they shared it, they were able to just let it go, stop thinking about it, because it was just haunting them every day all through their lives. But anyway, for continual, what about the hurt? What about the hurt? If somebody hurt me, I'm wounded, so I respond negatively, I repent for it, I forgive the person, I intercede for that person, I even reconcile with that person, but I still feel the hurt. What about the hurt? Well, the hurt, you know, when somebody punches you and you have a bruise, it's not going to go away right away. So there could be hurt residue. And so for that, I believe God gives us plenty of promises and instructions in the scripture how we can be healed. So let's see. Let's have each of these promises and instructions that we want to obey. Let's have Jack read the first one, Albert read the second, and Caleb read the third. And then who else is it? Ladies? Jesse's fourth. Jen fifth. Effie there? Effie's not there? Okay, Effie is sixth. Can you hear me?
Yes,
all right. Okay, are you following me so far? Are you following me, people?
Yes.
All right, very good. Okay, all right. So, go ahead. Who's the first one? Go ahead, whoever's going to read it.
Okay.
Read the title and the verse.
Okay. First one is by confessing our sins and receiving prayers of the righteous, James 5:16-17. Or confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years.
Okay. So it also says prior to this, if you are sick, get prayer from elders. And it also says here, prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. But it also says before that, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so there's a place for a prayer of elders. So we want, if we have any hurt issues, you want to go share your hurts with an elder and ask for their prayers. Prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. And you know, Elijah was a man like you and me, so we're all same place, we're people, but if we pray earnestly and with faith, it says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So when we do have sin, hurt issues, go and it says confess your sins with each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So it doesn't only have to be elders, it could be your fellow brothers and sisters, peers. But it's good to share what, without gossiping, of course. You know, there's a place to be not gossiping, but share with just few who can maybe counsel you and pray for you so that the healing may come. You know, prayer of the righteous is effectual. So pray. So be confessing, by confessing our sins. What about the hurts? By confessing our sins, receiving prayers of the righteous, healing power can be experienced. Next one. Who's next?
It's me. Okay. I'm waiting for the slide.
You got it?
Okay. By accepting and enjoying God's forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
All three?
Okay. Hebrews 10:17, then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Psalm 103:1, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
So when we confess our sins, the Bible said God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is our assurance of forgiveness first. But the key point here is he forgives us from all unrighteousness. So actually healing can come from receiving and enjoying his forgiveness. Sometimes we've been responding negatively so long in a deadly cycle, we feel condemned because we've been sinning so long. But when we do confess our sins, God is faithful and just, will forgive us our sin, even of the worst of sin in the past, even the future. God is willing to forgive us all from all unrighteousness. And when he forgives, it says, their lawless deeds and acts I will remember no more. And it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, not forget all his benefit, who forgives all your sins and heal all your diseases. So there's some relationship with the enjoying the forgiveness of sin and the healing from diseases, even our emotional diseases. So we should confess and believe that all unrighteousness is forgiven us. And God doesn't even remember it. Once we repent and receive forgiveness, we shouldn't say the same thing over and over again. Otherwise, we might be condemning ourselves. So I know people who overly confesses and not really accept his forgiveness, so they fall into self-condemnation. If you overly confess and do not receive forgiveness, you could fall into self-condemnation. And Satan loves to join that. He's the accuser, so he would help us to feel condemned. But we need to, upon confessing our sins, accept his forgiveness, enjoy God's forgiveness, who heals us, who forgives all our sins and heals us from our diseases. Some of our hurts are related to our willingness to accept his forgiveness or not. Okay, next, go ahead. Who's next?
By true repentance and obedience, Isaiah 58:8-9a, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I.
So not only confessing our sin and accepting his forgiveness, by true repentance and obedience. So true repentance is grieving about my sin, but turning towards God in obedience. So Isaiah 58 talks about how, you know, obeying the things that God is calling the people to obey. Then when you obey in these things that he is calling them to, then your right light will break forth like the dawn, and the healing will appear quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. Glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will be called Then you will call and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help and he will say, here am I. And this is not just confessing our sin and not being obedient, but it also includes true repentance, includes obedience. And so it's when God calls us to obey and we obey, then the light will break forth in our lives, like the dawn. The healing will quickly appear, so our hurts can be healed by the Lord and His Spirit. Then, and even our righteousness will go before us. So we will be empowered to be righteous. And our rear guard, the glory of God, as we go by in righteousness, God's glory protects our rear. God's glory will be revealed. And when we call, He will answer. So by true repentance and obedience, we can definitely be further healed. Next.
By boldly claiming the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Matthew 8:16-17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Him, and He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases.
So His atonement, His sacrifice as the Lamb of God, dying on the cross and giving His blood for all mankind. In doing that, He took our infirmity and carried all our diseases. That's why the blood of the Lamb was the source of power, source of healing, source of courage. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So the blood of the Lamb is the source of atonement and source that covered our infirmities, referring to sin, and also carried away our diseases. So there was a sister who I think somewhere, I won't say where, but was struggling with a lot of condemnation and guilt. And suddenly she realized that, Jesus took my condemnation. He carried my guilt and shame. If He carried that, I don't have to be ashamed and condemning myself from what I've been condemning myself from the past. So because of the past events and hurts in her life, you know, she had a hard time not condemning herself or even being shame and feeling guilty. But just realizing that Jesus took the condemnation and the guilt, she just felt really released from the burden of that guilt and condemnation. So the Bible says, cursed is the one who hangs up on the tree. Who was hung up on the tree? It's Jesus. Cursed. So all the curses, sin, and including the diseases, went on to Jesus. When He died on the cross, not only did He die on the cross for us, for our sins, but even the consequence of sin was put on Jesus. Sin and the consequence. And death is a consequence. Jesus took it. Disease and hurts and infirmities, they were all consequences of sin, and that went on to Jesus. So when Jesus took those curses and died for us, that means we have been released and forgiven from the requirement of paying for that sin and also the from the consequence of sin. And so Jesus took all your infirmities and diseases so we can be healed. That's Isaiah 53 says much about that. But it's because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb paid for our infirmities and also our diseases. Jesus took it for us. So it's good to remember the blood of the Lamb. You know, I taught you people the song, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Holy Ghost, I am.
my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. If we have time, maybe we sing that song again. All right. The other thing is, by dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, I think I recently talked about it, by trusting God. Go ahead. Who's next?
By dwelling in the shelter of the Most High and by trusting God. Psalm 91:1-3. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence.
Yes, even the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. Remember how anger, bitterness, you know, unforgiveness, these are all part of Satan's stronghold and foothold, the fowler's snares. But if we make God our refuge and our fortress and my God in whom I trust, then it says He will save us from the fowler's snares, the stronghold and footholds of the enemy, even deadly pestilence. God will save us from it. So I'm not sure how it works, but somehow during this coronavirus, you know, trusting God to be your God and trusting Him to be refuge and fortress has to be helpful for the virus. You know, if you don't trust God, you don't trust Him as fortress and, you know, refuge, I'm not sure if there's any help for the virus. So, but the Bible is saying when we trust God as God, He's my refuge and my fortress, and I trust in God that way. I will come under the shelter of the Most High, rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snares and from the deadly pestilence. So if even hurts when you acknowledge God as God and continue to live life trusting God rather than focusing on the hurts and the negative responses. If you focus on God, you will dwell safely under His wing and healing will come from His presence. Next. Okay, Effie.
By believing His sovereign goodness over the past, present, and future hurts. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Malachi 4:2. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall.
You know, hurts are not always all bad. Hurts is not pleasant, but hurts are not all bad. Because sometimes we getting hurt, it really brings out what's inside of us, what we're made of. And actually, we're hurt because our self is still alive. Our self is more very precious to us. And so when we get hurt, depending on how much our self is alive, that's how much we will respond to that hurt. But you know, sometimes God allows hurts in the past, present, and even in the future, it might come. But we know that in all these hurt, past, present, and future situation, if we trust in God, that there's a purpose. You know, good things could come out of this. Good things could come out of this. So we need to believe that these hurts are not pleasant, but it's something God allowed, and there's something God wants us to benefit from, knowing that God has a purpose. So what is, you might want to think about, so I'm hurt by this or that or that person, and I responded this way, but what is the purpose of God in letting me go through this? What is God trying to show me about myself and how I can grow more in the likeness of Christ? So if we take all situations and seek for God's purpose and acknowledge God in it, these situations could turn into good for those who love Him. If we respond in the way of loving God, God could really turn our hurts into benefits, transforming us to be more like Jesus. So that's acknowledging God's sovereignty under, you know, past, present, and future hurt. And Malachi 2:4-2 says, but for you who revere my name. So if you choose to love God and we revere his name, the sun of righteousness will shine or rise with healing in his wings. So when we choose to respond in loving God and revering his name in our hurt situations, even past situation, present situation, even the future, if we choose to love God, to revere his name, the Son of Righteousness, Christ will come, rise with healing in his wing. So God wants to bring healing. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Do you know what calves feel like trapped in the stall? Frustrated. I don't know calves, but as the stall is opened up, the calves are full of energy, wanting to jump out. So we'll be like calves, full of energy, not drained, depressed, but full of energy, because the Son of Righteousness will bring healing in its wing for us. Okay, next one. Juan, you're there? Oh, you're trying to find Juan?
He's unmuted.
Okay, you're on.
Wait, what do I read?
What's on the screen?
Just read what's on the screen.
Oh, okay. Romans 8:26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Romans 8:26. NIV.
Well, I enjoyed a short sharing by Hannah before all these things, right? She says something about the Holy Spirit, God doing the work in us. Well, here it is. The healing is not something we could heal ourselves, or somebody else could heal you of your brokenness in your soul, but it's by the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. So, and sometimes we don't even know what to pray for when we're hurt and broken. What do I pray for? Well, one thing we can know is that Holy Spirit knows. Holy Spirit knows, and he's interceding for us already with groanings that words cannot express. I mean, if there's words we can express about our hurts or our condition, we gladly can pray with our words. But there's some things within ourselves that we don't even understand. We can't even put into words. Well, the Holy Spirit in us knows that. And he wants to help us in our weakness, that he wants to pray for us and intercede for us with groanings that words cannot express. And he searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit. He who searches the heart and know the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints and according to God's will. So Holy Spirit knows God's will, the Father's will. According to the Father's perfect will, Holy Spirit is interceding for our souls, even in the hurt condition, that he knows our hurts, and he's praying, interceding for us to be healed, but not just to be healed, but that our souls will be heading towards the will of God. So sometimes when we're hurt, we just want to be healed. When you're sick, you just want to be rid of it. But we shouldn't make healing for our hurts or even our sickness an idol. The goal is not to be rid of our hurts and our sicknesses. We want to trust God that he is doing the work of healing and healing us from sickness. But what he's more concerned about is that our soul will be shaped according to the will of God. So Holy Spirit is interceding for us deeply, knowing what we are groaning about, what we're hurting, but at the same time that our soul will be led towards the will of God, which is the path of healing. Our soul being directed according to the will of God is the path of healing. And the Holy Spirit is praying for us, interceding for us in that direction. And so even if you don't know how to pray, you just say, God, I know your Holy Spirit, you're interceding for me, and I'm just going to leave it to you to continue to heal me and direct me according to the will of God. And when we join the will of God, that is joining the Holy Spirit. Okay. Next. Richard. Find him? Okay, Richard, go ahead and read it. Can you unmute him?
Yeah, but he has to agree.
Oh, he has to agree.
No, find someone else.
Okay. All right, Richard, you're muted.
My sister is using the treadmill right now.
Okay. Oh, very loud. Okay, so let's just have Jeremy, you want to read it.
Okay.
Jeremy's going to read it. Okay, thanks.
All right. By God's word of comfort. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Psalm 119:114. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word.
I think that first verse is pretty good. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, even from your hurts. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And his word is for the purpose of comfort in our trouble, and comfort so that we can eventually comfort those who who may have gone through the similar situation. So God's word is a source of healing, comfort. So we need to come to the truth, and there be a lot of freedom. Recently, I've observed that not putting our hearts and thoughts on the truth, the enemy could lie. And if we believe the enemy's lie, that could cause a greater disappointment and hurt. Instead of remembering God's word, if we put our confidence or we acknowledge the lies of the enemy, it could actually cause greater hurts and upsetness and just dissatisfaction, you know? And I noticed that when a person puts their mind fixed on God who is involved in the situation, and if you fix your mind and heart on the truth of God's word, there's actually a lot of freedom, and even the hurts could become not a hurt. Upsetting things could become not upsetting things if you keep your eyes on God and on his promises and his truth. So the word of God is very instrumental in turning our hurts and even dissatisfaction into a contentment and peace. Okay, lastly, go ahead. Allison. Okay, Allison.
Okay, Isaiah 61, 1 to 3.
Romans 8:11 first.
Oh, okay. Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Also read the second one?
Yeah.
Isaiah 61:1-3. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn.
Very good. The last point is, what about the hurt? We can be healed by experiencing the resurrection power and the gospel. I spoke on resurrection past 2 weeks on Sundays, and I shared about Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Mortal bodies referring to our spirit, soul, and body. That the resurrection power can heal us. And Isaiah 61:1-3 is talking about Jesus being called to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaiming freedom from the captive, releasing people from darkness of prison, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's good favor, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourns. And so gospel, that's the gospel. Jesus came to preach the gospel, and part of the gospel benefit is a resurrection power and being healed of the brokenheartedness, be set free from being a captive, freedom, and being a prisoner, but also to be comforted from our mourning. And so the benefit of the gospel, if we continue to believe in the gospel, not only once when we believe, but continually believing in the power of the gospel, which is resurrection power, you know, Jesus wants to continue to bind our brokenheartedness, set us free from our captivity in darkness, and comfort us. So these promises and instructions are something we're called to respond to and to claim. And so these are pretty awesome promises, worthy of reflecting very carefully. And so having done what we can, repenting, forgiving, and praying for those who hurt us, God calls us to obey. And these are some things that we are called to obey and stand upon as God gives us promise. So I don't know where you are, but hopefully this would be a little bit of a guidance to help you to not be stuck in that deadly cycle of Satan's stronghold and foothold. But if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we are called to continue to respond these ways so that we can be healed. And so I told you that at the STP, God has done amazing things when people did take some steps to obey and to claim unto these promises and to make some reconciliation initiations. Seems like God did some amazing things back then. And I'm not sure if some of you have been there. Who were there in that STP? Name them, Jeremy. Who are here?
Am I just the Albert at this point?
Oh, really? It's just you. You and Albert was at that STP. Wow. Now you guys who are online are all participants of this workshop, and I hope that you will experience something similar, if not quite exactly, freedom from your hurts and experience His power. And then let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this time together, and thank you for reviewing Lord, what happens when we are hurt and how you call us to indeed repent, forgive, intercede, and obey you, standing on the promises of God. So, Lord, would you be with our brothers and sisters? Lord, would you kindle or just remind by your Holy Spirit if there's any areas that they need to bring before you, that they would come to you and ask for guidance and to obey and be healed. So we thank you, God. Commit all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.